Good morning, everyone.
I don't know what's happening.
Technical difficulties.
Oh.
You ever have one of those moments when you're like, technical fun? I have no idea what's happening, but it's happening, and that's kind of fun that it's happening, but it's not really fun that it's happening because it's technical difficulties. I know. It is confusing. So I had this really cool video and everything set up, and you guys will see it next week. I know. Because it's an announcement video. Do you want to see the announcement video? There's no audio. It'd be very weird. Now I'll just talk about it. It's a lot easier that way. So you can see the cool announcement video next week. I know. It's like I'm delaying time because I thought I had a video to start with. So I can get my earbud in. Technical difficulties. Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. We're almost there. It's the last day of 2023, and everyone said
a new presidential election.
What? Addie,
whoa. Calm down.
Okay.
That's November. All right.
Still.
Yeah, no.
Still.
We'll see. So. Good days. So we got some exciting news. First of all, Warriors at the Well is happening. It's a thing, but it's not happening today. So women's life group, women's ministry, y'all will be meeting next Sunday, which will be very, very cool and exciting. All right? Awesome. Next, and this was going to be our cool video, but I'm just going to do the slide because the video was going to actually play during announcements because it's... There's no audio to it, so it would have been pretty cool to watch then. We have an app.
And everybody,
y'all don't like phones? I mean, I know some of y'all don't like phones, but I mean, this is kind of fun. So,
phones.
Huh?
I love phones.
I know you love phones. So, what can you do with this app? So, first of all, you can follow along with the service, which means all of the slides and all of the scripture and everything will pop up on this app when you use it during the message. Any of the music that we have playing, they'll pop up on there as part of the message. If you're looking for the sermons during the week, you know that we post them on Facebook. But what you may or may not know is that the Facebook link that's there points to this. So I've been using this for 2 years now. And didn't even tell anybody yet. So we've been working on getting this set up so that the church folks can use this as a regular thing, and we can stay connected kind of during the week. There is a social piece to it. There's communication pieces to it. There's even a prayer request section where you can put in your prayer requests, and you can actually have the church praying for your prayer requests. So it's kind of cool. I even set up something that's called a subgroup for Warriors at the Well, so that subgroup can talk with each other and do things. You just have to have someone who can handle dealing with that type of computery stuff. So recommend you guys find someone who can do that. We'll be able to set up a subgroup for divorce care and some of the other things that are going to be going on in the church that we add on in here. And what's nice is that it's a central location connection piece that's not Facebook to be able to communicate to each other.
Because social media sucks.
Because social media, I will tell you that some of my sermons have been removed from Facebook.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? I've been canceled.
Oh my God.
Well, I'm not in Facebook jail. They just removed the post. So I have to PC myself, I guess. Not going to
exactly.
PC myself.
Be a modern pastor. Be a cool pastor.
I'm going to be a cool pastor, not a modern pastor.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we have that. I want to encourage you, if you don't have the Faith Life Bible Study app, it's really fun. It's really cool. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. And yes, there's stuff that you can buy on there. Please don't feel like you're obligated to buy anything on it. I have some stuff that's through it that the church actually gives me as a part of all this subscription stuff and everything, but it's like pastoral study tools that go along with it. and it's stuff that I'll be able to like help communicate with you guys. We'll even be able to set up like reading plans. If you want to do like reading plans throughout the year, we can do like a Bible in a year, and we could do that as a church. So it'd be kind of cool. I'm going to be kind of exploring with this thing this year, and I'd love to hear any feedback that you have as you use it. Okay? Cool. And next week we'll see the cool video that went along with it.
Cool.
Because
Didn't
play. Oh, well. Yeah. So, divorce care is a thing that is happening on Saturday. This Saturday. And you thought you had butterflies.
Yeah.
Now it's full clench. Hey, this is going to be awesome, guys. I'm just saying. I have immense confidence that this is going to not only just go well, it's going to be a massive, massive blessing to our community. And I'll be honest, I think the majority of people in Conway are divorced.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
It's like a normal part of society.
It's like a normal thing now.
Yeah.
And
well,
so,
raging.
But we will be able to minister them directly and care for them and help them walk through it all, the emotional pain, the psychological stuff, the loneliness or whatever could come along with it, can really help. So I recommend highly that if you're divorced, contemplating divorce, or even separation, come and listen. If you're a kid of divorce, an adult kid of divorce, sorry, there's no child care this session. If you're an adult kid of divorce, come to this. Learn something. So, all right. And then a wonderful piece of business, because everyone loves church business, right? Annual church meeting, the annual church membership meeting. So this is our annual meeting for Life 360. And I'm not just talking about Life 360 Conway. This is Life 360
everywhere.
So we do this once a year. This one is going to be February 28th. And I know that slide is probably a little small, but I wanted to get as much in there as possible. So February 28th, which is a Wednesday night at 6:45, and I've decided as the pastor, we are not going to simulcast it here because I just don't trust the internet that much here. So instead, I'm offering a trip to Springfield. So if you are willing to meet at the church here at 5:45 p.m., all church members are obviously invited, but all church attendees are also invited. If you're a member, you vote. If you're an attendee, you have to sit in a special section where you're in a non-voting section of Chesterfield. So, huh?
Am I a member?
You're not a member, but you can sit with us.
Okay.
Sorry, kid, you're too young.
Don't they have that weird youth group thing?
They do have youth group there, and they do have child care. So if you're interested in coming, learning more about the church and kind of what
it's the PK Day thingy where we just go hang out and play games. And
yes, it's the PK Day thing.
Yes.
Can you chill yourself?
Yes.
Thanks. They're excited because business meeting is fun for them. So if you want to come, I highly recommend that you come. You learn more about what we're doing as a church. You get to see Life 360 in a much broader perspective of what we're doing as an organization and as a cooperative of churches. So I think it's really cool.
It is.
So I wouldn't do this if I didn't think it was really kind of cool how we do this. So, it's always good to have folks there that have that rural perspective. I love the folks in Springfield. I think they're amazing, but sometimes they don't think rural. And so it's always good to have more voices from our rural churches there to say, yeah, it doesn't work that way. And so they do listen, which is great. And we do get a vote, which is awesome. So I want to encourage you all to be there. Sound good?
Yeah.
Awesome sauce. So you guys ready to do some worship? Go ahead and stand up with me today. We're going to go ahead and get ready for worship this morning. And Lord God, we thank you so much that you brought us into this day. This last day of 2023, you've brought us through this whole year, God. You've seen us through it. We've seen stuff happen, good things, bad things, But we can always look forward to that future, God, that future that you have for us, the directions that you have for us, God, as we take one small step every moment of our lives to come closer to you, to come into relationship with you, to come into alignment with who you are, God. I pray, Jesus, that we could always have you as our central guiding light, our central guiding map. God, be our anchor. And I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name.
Christ, here we go. My hope is built.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, the holy trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord alone. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, I hang the Lord's within the trumpet sounds. Oh, may I then in Him be found, trust in His right.
life today. Whatever is that thing that you hold on to in those stressful moments, whatever it is that you hold on to in those complicated crises of life, that's the thing that you've made your anchor. That's the thing you've made into the cornerstone of where you build your life out of. God wants to be first in your life. He wants to be the anchor of your life. He needs to be, because anything else is less than God. And it's destined to fail.
God is strong, He made strong, the Savior's life, through the storm, He is love, the Lord.
I'm broken inside, I give you my
is strong in me. My flesh may fail. My God, you never will. Some may be weak. Your spirit is strong in me. My flesh may fail. My God, you never will. If you fail, trust what you say. Your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my
the world has seen the light. sing of your love forever. I could 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 sing of your love forever.
Standing amazed.
undone. Here in your presence, heaven and earth become one. Here in your presence, all things are new. Here in your presence, everything bows before you.
God's put on their heart to share today. If you do, just say it out. Lord, we just want to be in your presence today. We want to experience closeness with you, intimacy with you in ways that we never have before, God. In your presence, it is wonderful and beautiful and glorious. It's incomparable to anything, God. We have these massive words and they're not enough. Lord, I pray that we could be with you right now. Church, when you're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there's a few reactions that you can have. One is to just be in awe. Another is to just be in tears. Lord, we're so broken. We don't deserve this. Presence that's offered to us today is the same presence that the priests would have when they walked into the Holy of Holies. And it's only the grace of God that covers us and protects us and keeps us from dying like they did if they had a single thing wrong in their life. God says that we can approach Him with all that we have done, all that we have done wrong, all the brokenness that we have. We can give all of that to Him. And He gets rid of it. Every time. He forgives us every single time. The Lord is more gracious than we can imagine. That's the grace he wants us to emulate. He wants us to be like Him in grace and mercy. And sometimes we find ourselves not in that grace, not living that out. Church, that's something we need to bring to God today. We need to leave it there. To walk away from the presence of God not being changed is a waste of time. Don't let this moment escape you, church. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you love us enough to die for us and love us enough to forgive us and to care for us, God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen. Take some time, say hi to some folks.
There's also cake pops in the back if you want any. Just so you know, there's a lot of them.
The coffee is not coffeeing. I know. We're missing a spout piece. The coffee is not coffeeing. It's like a couple weeks ago when I said, we just need to have our brain start braining. It's totally an Elizabeth thing, too. Man. Who is ready for this year to be over, man? That's the split opinion right there. I know, you blink and it's like when you get older, you blink and time goes faster. Elizabeth doesn't like it. Yeah, school's half. Your school is halfway done. Everyone who's in school, you're halfway done. You're halfway to that next grade. I almost have a junior. Oh my goodness. We've already started planning like what we're going to do when one of my daughters moves out because of college. And because the other one's coming up so quick, we've started thinking about what we're going to do when both of the girls are gone to college. I know. Malachi, man, I don't know what I'm going to do when you graduate. Mom and I are just going to be having fun together, I guess. Does anyone see a Herbie car around? We have a missing car. Probably in the other room. We'll find it. Don't worry. So, have you guys noticed a couple changes since you came in today? What have you guys noticed? Let's do a quiz. The table was clear. The nativity's all gone, and Christmas tree is going to be going away, literally. If anyone would like a Christmas tree, that one is up for donation to anyone who wants it. We got a new Christmas tree. I know. I told y'all we needed a new one, and I wanted to wait till after Christmas because we got it on 50% off. Yeah, man. It's a bear, but the new one's going to be nice. So we got a nice pre-lit tree that we won't have to string the lights up for as much. And so cool. If you think of it, like, I think if you want it, you can have it, right? Sweet. That is a 6-foot tree. It's very wide, though. So, hey. We have a shipment of stuff coming in on Wednesday from Convoy of Hope, which is great because Friday is our first distribution of the year. Because today is the last day of the year. So, I heard an interesting question the other day, and I want to see if anyone can get this. And it was a question that was asked back in the 90s. Okay? And I guess you could translate it into let's translate it for modern times. So we're in the 21st century, right? Yeah. In what day did the 21st century begin? This is your New Year's trivia today. January 1st, what year? 2001. And everyone went, what? Yes, the new century doesn't start until the first year after the millennium. Interesting, right? So I was like, wow, I didn't know that. You don't start with a zero, you always start with a one. Cool to know, right? Who knew that? I was watching this thing, and that was kind of like a thing that popped up, and I was like, oh, well, that's nifty. I bet that'll trip a lot of people up. I didn't know that. So, all right. Well, tithes and offerings. We're going to go ahead and have Elizabeth do her bucket patrol. And the giving QR code is right up there. I highly recommend if you are willing to give online that you do. We have, last week, we actually surpassed bucket giving by online giving. We had more online giving than we had in bucket. So that's pretty interesting. I find that pretty cool. So, yay. So, how did things go for the year? This is the last giving day for the year as well, so if you want to give and it count towards your 2023 taxes, please give today. And I promise that's the last time I'm going to mention that, because it's the end of the year. So, yeah, you got to do taxes. Taxes are coming. Yeah. We'll have a special prayer group for tax season. So, I'm actually kind of happy I don't have to do my own income tax right now, but I will at some point in time very soon. Anyway, the church is doing pretty well. We are a nonprofit. So what does that mean? My goal as a pastor is to, yes, try to have some money in savings in case something comes up, but my goals also include to make sure that we don't have a big pot of money sitting around doing nothing. Pots of money sitting around doing nothing with no goal or without a goal in mind kind of don't seem smart. Does that make sense? When I was in the Army, we had something that we called zero balance budgeting. We had to zero balance everything. So that meant that every dollar that we got, we had to spend. That's where the $20 toilet seats come in. That's where the $200 pencils come in. That's where all this other stuff, seriously, that's where all that stuff comes in. Because the reality is if you don't spend the money by the end of the year, guess what happens to the money? The government takes it back, and then they redistribute it to other people. Not you guys. Within the government. Different entity of the government. So when I was in the Army, that's what we did. We would be like, all right, well, let's buy new carpet because we have $10,000 in the budget or whatever it was. Let's do this. Let's do that. Some of it was pretty extravagant because the budget would always be set really high so that you could achieve that. So what we do as a church is we do something that's called a vision budget. Okay? And a vision budget is what I, the church board, the vision pastor, all believe is going to happen in the new year. So, Elizabeth, will you do me a favor? On that table out there, there are some cards that say 2024 on them. Can you bring in enough for everyone? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Can you get 12? Back table out in the hallway. Yeah, I meant to give every one of these things as y'all came in, but I didn't, and I apologize. So we're going to have Elizabeth do that right now. So basically what we're looking at is this is, it's there. It's right in the middle in the front. Tall card. Yeah, that's them. You got it. Hand out one to everyone, please. And I need one, too, because I can't read nothing. I have to have something to read. I can't read a nothing. So what we do every single year is a vision budget, what we believe God is going to provide for the new year. A lot of that is based upon previous information. Can I have one, please? Thank you. A lot of that information is provided by what we did last year, the money. But me being in full disclosure, because I love being in full disclosure because money makes people funny, this is where we're going to focus this year. 2024 goals. Last year we had 11 goals. That was a lot of goals. And I went, there's no way I can meet all these goals, so it's going to be totally God. And we met a lot of those goals, and some of the goals we went, well, we didn't finish that well. But we did it well, but we didn't finish it well. And sometimes the vision is something that happens, and sometimes the vision is just like, well, it happened for a season and now it's over. So, for instance, we have three Life 360 Conway goals. We're going to be family-focused. We're doing that through, we're going to minister to families, marriages, and broken families. You seeing that already? Because we've got divorce care kicking in. We've got other things happening. We've got number two being the Bear's Den. We're going to continue to develop that program and expand it. We're going to be looking at what we're going to be doing over the summer. Because we've got to, I want to see if we can do a good, strong summer program over the summertime and see what we can do with that. And then we have community engagement. We want to increase our presence in the community. And we want Life 360 Conway to become a part of the DNA of this community. We want people to say, Yeah, Life 360. Those are the ones of people. Those are the people that can help us with that. We want people to think of our church as a resource. A part of that is being there for them, being at their things, doing their stuff. So we're going to figure out what community engagement we can get involved in, the stuff that we can do, the places that we can be at. I've got schedules out there for all of the sporting events. I would love to see you guys there. It ain't expensive, and you can cheer on the Bears. And that's a big deal, because there's a few organizations within this community that are pillars of this community, and the biggest one's the school. No matter what your opinions are of the school, they're a pillar of the community. They are important. So we got to do things like support our school, support the local businesses, support the economy in the community, develop things so that we can help folks in the community and be that resource, be that answer. So that means we have to do some growth. We have to do some changing. We're already being looked at as a good place for donations. We got people reaching out to us constantly. Do you have this? Do you have that? People asking for help and support in a lot of different ways. And the church is going to have a healthy budget for helping people out. Because I think that's an important thing. Is you give without an expectation of return. We don't give because we want to fill up the pews. Sorry, we don't have pews. We don't give because we want to fill up the chairs. We give because it's what Jesus wanted. When he was out there preaching his message to the 5,000, he didn't check their accounts before feeding them. He just fed them. I'm sure everyone in that group of folks could have gone into town and bought food. In fact, that was one of the disciples' recommendation. Can we just pause what we're doing here so people can go into town and buy food? No, you feed them. Okay? Does that make sense? So I don't care if you're coming from the lowest impoverished families to the most elaborate, extravagant families in Conway. We treat everyone equally here, period. Got it? Awesome. As for the overall Life 360 goals, we're looking at deliberate discipleship. I'm actually focusing that effort this year into developing what we're going to be doing with Faith Life, with the app that I was sharing with you guys about. And I'm going to be talking about that quite a bit over the next several weeks, so get tired of it. I want to help be deliberate about how we do discipleship here. Join the women's ministry. Join whatever else we end up doing. We're talking about bringing back Wednesday nights. And what capacity that's going to be is not fully fleshed out yet. But Elizabeth wants it on Thursday or Friday. I don't think that's going to happen. But we'll see. I've got some folks calling for the reestablishment of the youth group. I'd love to see it. So, passion for missions. So as a whole, as an organization, we want to increase from $565,000 to $650,000 of support to strategic partners and missionaries across the U.S. and the world. What does that mean for us? That means that over the course of this year, I want to get our 10% of our tithes and offerings that come into the church, I want to take an additional amount, 10% of that amount, and give that towards missions. Does that make sense? So we have our tithe, which goes to the church, but let's say we get, let's do some realistic numbers here, about $70,000 a year. That's approximate. So let's say we get $70,000 a year. We want to give $7,000 to missions in addition to that $70,000. How are we going to do that? If you have missionaries in your life that you give to already, did you know that you could give to them through the church? And if you give to them through the church, not only do you continue get to take the advantage of all the taxes and everything of giving to the missionary, it counts towards your church, which is kind of fun. I did that myself when I moved in. We had a missionary family that we were giving to. who have been working out of Estonia, and we continue to give to them through the church. So if you're interested in that process, come talk to me, and I'll be able to help you out with that. There's a paperwork and everything I have to submit to the missions team for them to approve. But basically, if they're saying, if you go, hey, people are, like, the way I worked it out is, I'm giving X amount of dollars to this family already. I want to give to it through the church instead. So instead of it going directly to them, I'm going to send the money to the church intended for that missionary, which is called a designated offering, because you can still designate where your offerings go. So if it's a designated offering for a certain missionary, that money has to go to that missionary. We have no say in how that money gets used if you designate where it needs to go. Did you know that about giving to a church? Some people don't know that. If you designate where your money wants, where you want your money to go, it has to go to that. If you give to the building program, to the building fund, it has to be used for the building fund. It cannot be used for payroll or anything else. It has to go to that. If you give to missions, it has to go to missions. If you give it to a specific missionary, it has to go to that specific missionary. So I want to have more missionaries come in and visit with us throughout the year, this in 2024, so that you guys can meet them, get to know them, and we want to be able to give more. Right now, I believe we are at about 4.5% is where we're at right now for our missions giving compared to tithes and offerings. So we've got some gap to make up in that area in order to meet our goal for the year. So is this boring talk to you? I find it very interesting because some of this church business stuff gets really weird, but I find it interesting stuff. And then, of course, we Life 360 always looks at multiplication. It's focused on our... But what that looks like this year as opposed to previous years is they're going to be focusing on the current lead pastors and church plants like us as they serve on the front lines of ministry in rural towns and communities and lay a solid foundation for future new plants. What that's looked like over the past several years is we want to add 25 new churches. We want to add 30 new churches. We want to add 45 new churches. We want to add 190 new, whatever. It would be this large number, and they would make it most of the time. But what's ended up happening is with the LCS fallout and everything that happened over this past year and a half, 2 years, things kind of shifted in the church. And so what they're looking at this year is within the multiplication of Life 360 is they want to encourage and empower not only me, but also our church as well to do what we need to do better. So I'm excited to see what that means. Because this is from our vision pastor, and he'll tell us what that means in the new year. But I'm interested to see what happens, and I keep asking, what does this mean? What does that mean? What are we going to do? What's going to happen? What's the structure around that? So, because I'm a nerd for church things. It's crazy. So, all right. I encourage you to take this home with you. You can have it. And pray over these things. One of the key focuses I want to look at for the new year is taking small steps. Taking small steps forward. Instead of taking 500 steps in 500 different directions, I want to encourage each of us in your own life, in your own ministries, in your own heart, and where God is calling you, take smaller steps, one step at a time. If it means read a book, you read that book. If it means talk to that person, you go talk to that person. If it means fill out that application, you fill out that application. And you just take one step at a time. And you're going to see God develop you, grow you, strengthen you one step at a time. So that's it. I mean, if you look at it, the Life 360 Conway goals are kind of a lot. They can tie together a lot, can't they? We have a few other irons in the fire, but a lot of that ties in together. We'll be able to push forward in one step at a time. And that is it. All right. Well, that was longer than I expected. Which means I have about 15 minutes to knock out the service today. What do you think? The sermon today. What do you think? Think I can do it? Hey, y'all are encouraging. Lucretia's like, no, I ain't going to do it. All right, we're still in the book of Judges. And I'm going to start off with my questions today as my introduction. So you guys ready? Now remember, this is how this works. I ask a question, you guys respond, okay? Who is God's word for? Was it just for Israel? It was given to Israel. It was for everybody. Okay. So who is God's word for? Let's get a consensus here. For everybody? For the people who read it? What about the people who absolutely don't know about the Bible whatsoever? Does it apply to them? Does ignorance of the law give reason that you can break it? Okay. Is that how that works, though? Sure. Yeah. So my daughter is learning to drive right now. My 15-year-old. She's not in here right now, and she's in driving school because they're better teachers than I am at this. I think. I hope. But let me tell you a story. I was in the military, and I was living in Fort Riley, Kansas, and I was after lunch. I was driving on my way back to my unit for work. That's what we called it. You go back to your unit after work for after lunch, and the school was letting out because it was a half day, and that's not normal. I mean, schools don't normally have half days, right? Anyway, so I'm driving like I would normally drive back to work, and I'm kind of in autopilot. You ever been in autopilot while driving? Those of you who are younger, you don't understand. But have you ever like done something on autopilot? Yeah, like walking to your classes every day. Or doing dishes, doing your chores on autopilot. That happens a lot. So you know what I'm talking about, autopilot. So I'm driving along, and the speed limit normally is 45. But apparently it was a half day. And I was passing this box truck on the left side to go around the box truck. I was doing the speed limit, but they were going really slow, and I couldn't figure out why. And the next thing I know, I have lights flashing behind me. And then I get pulled over. And then I get a ticket. Do you know what the ticket was for? Speeding in a school zone. That's bad. I got in trouble. But you know what I told the cop? I had no idea I was in a school zone. Do you know why? Because the box truck was blocking the sign that was flashing. I completely missed the sign. I didn't see it. Did that excuse my action? No. Am I still getting a ticket? Yes. Am I still having to pay for that ticket? Yes. Is it still on my record? No, it was a long time ago. I have memory, they don't. Ha ha. Who is that signal for? Everyone. Just because I didn't see it didn't mean it didn't apply to me. But kids wouldn't be driving. You're absolutely right. There is an age of accountability. Now here's the deal. What did I see? Thinking back, the traffic going slow, the cars piled up around the school, and the school buses, all signs that there was something going on. But I didn't see the sign. So because I didn't see the sign, and I'm stupid sometimes, I did speed through a school zone. I saw everything around it. The world can see the works in the hands of God, in the hand of God, in their community and all around them. Sometimes because they don't experience it, or they don't see that big flashing light at them, because they're moving around in the world on autopilot, they get in trouble. Same story. Which is why we do a lot to try to reach unreached people groups. Missions. Yeah. So they have representations and evidence of God, but they don't know God. It's sad. That's why there's a Great Commission. So here's the next question. When faced with a moral question, how should you, believer in Jesus, respond? Moral question. Right and wrong. Or trying to figure out if something is right or wrong. Or you're in a situation where you're like, I don't know about that. You can test it against God's word, okay? What would Jesus do? Yeah, I love those things. Those are so cool. Or frog, fully rely on God. Remember those? Oh, frog was cool. WWJD was big, though. Yeah. Moral questions. It's that right and wrong thing again, isn't it? So how do we respond? What if you don't have time to pray? Someone's coming up to you right now and says, blah, 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 blah. What would you do? Make a decision now. You hope you prayed up before you get to that point, right? Yeah. You have to know ahead of time, right? You have to know that difference between right and wrong. So here's the next question. If a little white lie will make people feel better than truth, how do you react? Ah, we're back to this one. Even if what? I got so many stories I could tell off the top of my head, but they would all get me into a lot of trouble. No. I'm asking you guys this question. If you had the opportunity, you were presented with a situation where all you had to do was a little sin and people would feel better about it. But if you told them the truth, not only would they get angry, they would ostracize you or like whatever. Like, you can see no positive path for the truth here. Yeah. Sure. Have you guys ever done this before, though? Honesty here. I'm married, man. That's all I'm going to say. Sure. That's so hard, though, sometimes. And because I remember that when I was with my grandma, and I was like, I'm sitting there going, I don't know where she was before her mind went, and I'm hoping. I'm not the judge. But you ever met somebody and you're like, I'm not the judge, but I don't know. I hope. You meet people like this. I mean, there's some people, you know them, and you know that their heart, and your own discernment can be like, yeah, they're good to go, but sometimes you're like, don't know. Or you have situations like if your boss asks you a question and you knew you could get away with it and you're like, I'm going to tell this little white lie and I know that I can get away with it, and if I don't get away with it, I can blame it on the other person. So that's like compound sin. I mean, it's these moral questions, right? How do you combat a moral question? With the truth. The Bible says the truth is going to set you free. Does it say it's going to set the other person free? You ever heard the phrase, it's my job to tell you the truth? And once I've said it, that's the truth. Here's the catch. You have to know the truth. The truth, not your truth. So we're going to talk about the truth. Today's sermon is called Relatively God. Relatively God. This is one of my most favorite topics to go after as a pastor. Is this moral relativity idea. I hate it. I hate it in my life. I hate it when I see it. I hate it when I hear it. I don't like it. It's one of my least favorite things about living in this society is the moral relativism. I've read letters from people or read emails from people or messages from people, and I'm like, you guys are believers. Or you claim to be believers, but you say these things, you do these things. What in the world? And it's this moral relativism that's going on in their heads. So today we're going to be in Judges chapter 11, verses 12 to 28. We're talking about Jephthah, who's our judge. Then Jephthah sent messages to the king of Ammon, asking, he had just been crowned king, by the way, why have you come out to fight against my land? He's pretty quick at claiming it's his land. The king of Ammon answered Jephthah's messengers, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, you remember that, when they came out of Egypt and went through the wilderness? They stole my land from the Arnon River to the Jabbok River and all the way to the Jordan. Now, then, give back the land peaceably. That sounds like a threat. It is. Jephthah sent a message back to the Ammonite king. This is what Jephthah says. Israel did not steal any land from Moab or Ammon. When the people of Israel arrived in Kadesh on their journey from Egypt after crossing the Red Sea, they sent messengers to the king of Edom asking for permission to pass through his land. True or false? True. But their request was denied. Also true. Then they asked the king of Moab for similar permission, but he wouldn't let them pass through either. Also true. So the people of Israel stayed in Kadesh. Finally, they went around Edom and Moab through the wilderness, you know, that whole wilderness journey that they were part of. They traveled along Moab's eastern border and camped on the other side of the Arnon River. But they never once crossed the Arnon River into Moab, for the Arnon was the border of Moab. True. Then Israel sent messengers to King Sihon of the Amorites, who ruled from Heshbon, asking for permission to cross through his land to get to their destination. True. But King Sihon didn't trust Israel to pass through his land. Instead, he mobilized his army at Jahaz and attacked them. True. But the Lord, the God of Israel, gave his people victory over King Sihon. True. So Israel took control of the land of the Amorites. This might get confusing. Amorites. Yeah. So Israel took control of the land of the Amorites who lived in that region, from the Arnon River to the Jabbok River, and from the eastern wilderness to the Jordan. Who owned that land before the Israelites did? the Amorites, not the Ammonites. I know that it gets real confusing for me too sometimes. Just be glad you didn't have to live in that time. So you see, it was the Lord, the God of Israel, who took away the land from the Amorites and gave it to Israel. Why then should we give it back to you? You never had a claim on it. You keep whatever your God Chemosh gives you, and we'll keep whatever the Lord our God gives us. What? But are you any better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he try to make a case against Israel for disputed land? Did he go to war against them? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Israel has been living here for 300 years, inhabiting Heshbon and its surrounding settlements, all the way to Aroer and its settlements, and in all the towns along the Arnon River. Why have you made no effort to recover it before now? Therefore, I have not sinned against you. Rather, you have wronged me by attacking me. Let the Lord who is judge... Whoa! You mean Joash is claiming the Lord has some authority here? Hey, maybe we got a good one. Let the Lord who is judge decide today which of us is right, Israel or Ammon. But the king of Ammon paid no attention to Jephthah's message. Sounds about right, right? So here's what we got. We got a situation where we have a country that's trying to move through and take over some land, and then they went to war with one of the kings and took over that king's land, but never really touched the other king's land. And so what's ended up happening is that king of that other land that they never had issues with for 300 years, the king of that land is now going, hey, all that land that you took over is actually my land. He has no claim on that. No claim on it. So, for instance, several years ago, we bought the Louisiana Purchase. Right? Big swath of land, huge piece of land, and France needed money, and we were willing to spend it because we wanted more land. So, what if Spain came back and said, we need that back? But it's not yours. Never was yours. We bought it fair and square. Or like Alaska. We bought Alaska from Russia, but what if Finland came along and said, we need that? You kind of get the idea? It would not be a good idea for Finland to do anything like that. Sorry, y'all, you just ain't that strong. War has been fought over land like crazy, right? I'm guessing the king of, what is it, Arnon? I think it's Arnon, yeah. Ammon. I think the king of Ammon has got this whole like story arc going on in his kingdom. So he's got CNN going and saying, you know, hey, the experts are saying that this was our land or should have been our land because it was right next door to us and we would have taken it over anyway. So this is definitely ours and we need to go in and take it. And the Israelites are kind of pushovers anyway because, you know, they keep losing and they keep dealing with God issues and all this other stuff. And you know what's interesting? I found this really funny. So Joash, he's not a great, he's one of those interesting characters in the Bible. He calls upon God when it's convenient. But he gets every fact straight except what God, the Ammonites, serve. The Ammonites serve Molech. Do you know who served Chemosh? The Amorites. I don't know if he got confused or if he was just trolling him a little. But I looked this up, and he basically is like, oh, yeah, that the God of that land gave you this land. That doesn't make sense either, does it? Are you confused like I am? Like, why would he do that? Sometimes I think it's hard to keep God straight, too. It's okay. I understand. But here's what's interesting. Japheth has got this cultural idea of God. This is something that happened a lot in that area. It happened a lot all through history, in fact. The idea that God is only God over the place where the people of God are. That the word of God only applies to where their God is worshipped. Because false gods believe other things. So Ammon is like, Molech is our God, and Molech is the God of this area. And let me tie something in. Let's think about the Israelites. Other than Yahweh, our God, God, what God did they serve? Baal. And Asherah. Why? Because those were the local gods. It was the local gods. They didn't wipe out the local gods. That was part of the problem. It was a big part of the problem. It was like the problem. Right. So what ends up happening is you end up having the truth being mixed in with lies. Half-truths, which is a lie. Little white lies that help you get along with society better. Little gods that help you incorporate with other people better. Or work better with people, or whatever it is. I know that God says that this is wrong, and that I shouldn't do this, but I will get along better with my neighbors if I actually do this, that, or the other thing, because this is what their God commands. God is God everywhere. To everyone, no matter what other people believe, God is God everywhere to everyone, no matter what they believe. The Word of God is God's Word to everyone, no matter what they believe. Right? Is right everywhere to everyone, no matter what they believe. We serve in this nation the God of feeling good, or making other people feel good, at the expense of the truth. We serve our own image, like you said, instead of the truth. The truth may be hard to hear, and you may not like what it has to say, because it may go against what you want to believe for yourself. But it doesn't excuse the fact that it is the truth. Where do we find the truth? God's Word. And if you haven't read God's Word, and you don't know what the truth is, how are you supposed to know? In the old days, if you didn't follow the procedures absolutely right, the sins of the nation would not be forgiven. The priests would be responsible for the deaths and hell for the entire nation. What Christ did is he took that responsibility away from the priests and he put it on you. I'm not going to lie. I'm really happy I'm not responsible for taking on everyone's sins and going and taking them to God. I'm only responsible for my own. But you got to take on your own too. What gods are you serving? I know you love the Lord. I'm going to go with I don't doubt that you love the Lord, that you're a believer in Jesus. And we have grace, don't get me wrong. But you're not going to get closer to God as long as you're holding on to that idol. You're not going to get closer to God as long as you cling on to those lies. You're not going to get closer to the light until you let go of the darkness. And by let go, I'm not saying you're going to immediately like spring over to the light. I'm just saying stop holding on to it. Today, when we were singing and we're in the presence of God, we sit in the presence of God. And I said, you have to give up these sins. You have to give up these things. That means you leave them there. If you don't leave the junk at the feet of Jesus, you waste your time. Why spend any time in his presence at all? Honestly, if you're not interested in changing your life and becoming more like Christ and closer to God, why even come to church? Don't come. Why even be a believer? That's truth. That's hard to hear. It's hard to say. Because I just basically told people not to come to church. That's like the opposite of what a pastor wants to do. I always want to grow the church. It has to do with God. It doesn't have to do with the church. Let me be clear about that. But you can't fake it till you make it. But if you're not in this faith to become more like Christ, you're wasting your time. If you're not in this faith to become more like Christ, you're wasting your time. If you don't have faith in Jesus, because you believe in his word, you're wasting your time. If you're not making the effort to follow the truth more and more, little steps, sometimes big steps, sometimes massive, huge leaps, but oftentimes little steps. And I understand there are times when we fall back and there's times that we mess up and things like that, but Is your vision moving forward or is your vision moving you backward? Are you looking to Christ or are you looking to the world? Are you looking to God to fulfill the things in your life that you need to be your caregiver? Or are you looking to others? Are you looking to your spouse? Are you looking to your kids? Are you looking to your finances? Are you looking to food? Are you looking to money? Are you looking to, I don't know, what else, whatever else is in your life that would draw you back? Is it your friends? Are you looking to those things to be your plastic anchor that doesn't work? I read a story about a guy who built a, who had a boat. He wanted a John boat for Christmas. He finally got one. His parents bought him everything. He got the paddles. He got the boat. He was out there fishing, and he didn't have, the one thing he didn't have was an anchor. What does an anchor do? Keeps you in place. It's the one thing that's solid on the whole thing. Otherwise, the water will just move you all around the lake, right? It's kind of hard to fish when you're going all over the place. That's why we fish on the shore, right? Yep, because the shore don't go nowhere. But here's the deal. He had it in his mind, you know what I can do? I'll just make myself an anchor. So he got himself a 2-liter bottle. He filled it up with a bunch of sand and rocks and other things like that. Thing was real heavy. He tied a rope around it and sent it down to the bottom. And guess what? It didn't work. It's too smooth. It's not the right type of material. It wasn't heavy enough. What kind of anchor is in your life? What anchors your life right now? Is it your emotions? Your feelings? Your mental status? Your psychosis? Your diagnosis? Or is it the Lord? Jephthah was right in so many ways, but he missed the point. God didn't bring them into that land so that they could serve other gods. God didn't bring the Israelites into that land to accept the culture. He brought them into that land to take it over, to make it God's kingdom. So what does your life look like? Do you serve God and then there's this little idol sitting out there? Or maybe the idol's bigger. Maybe your idol's the one you worship 6 days a week. And 20 hours on Sunday. The other four, you're thinking about coming to church, you're at church, and then you leave church. Is God your anchor and your Lord? Do you live the truth of God's Word and the Spirit 24/7, 365, and 366? Because next year's leap year. That is what making Him Lord means. He's not Lord if He's not in charge. He's not Lord if His word doesn't mean anything. He's not the healer if you don't let Him heal you. And being His presence means nothing if you don't let Him do what He's capable of. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for everyone in this room. You're not just a God. You are God. Your word is not a truth, it is the truth. This moral relativism that's around in this world today is sickening. It's toxic. It destroys families. It destroys lives. It destroys mental health. It destroys emotional health. It destroys so much. But You bring life. You bring truth. And Lord, I pray that we would anchor ourselves in You today. Not in some fake anchor, not in some plastic anchor that doesn't work. something firm and something strong. Our faith would be found in you. The truth would be found in you. Lord Jesus, you said that in Scripture that the truth is something that sets us free. I never said it's going to make other people feel free, but it does set us free. It sets us free from guessing and questioning. It sets us free from the heartache and the pain of trying to carry lies. We don't have to live this relativistic world where we have to figure out how we're going to skate by or work the system or anything like that. God, you have truth. You give us truth. You give us life. And your truth is the truth everywhere, to everyone, for everyone. Lord, you've given us a commandment to love one another. We can't love without truth. You've given us the commission to go and share the gospel with everyone, to share the truth with everyone. And we want to do that from our local situation to empowering the missionaries that reach people around the world, and especially those in the unreached people groups. God, we want to make you known. I pray, Lord God, that this week, this day, as we get ready for this new year, that we can examine our lives, resolve to get rid of the relativism, and to start making those steps towards you, God. We thank you for everything you've done this year. The good and the bad, all the things that have brought us to where we are today. And God, I can't wait to see what you have for us in the future. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen. God bless. You guys have an awesome New Year's. And I'll see you next year.